Ladies and gentlemen, a very good evening and welcome to the earnings conference call of EFC Limited for Q1 FY25. We have with us today Mr. Umesh Sahai, Founder and Managing Director of EFC India Limited, and Mr. Nikhil Bhutta, Whole-time Director of EFC India Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Nikhil Bhutta, Whole-time Director, to give his opening remarks and discuss further on the Q1 FY25 performance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Nikhil Bhutta, Director of EFC India Limited. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you joining our earnings conference call today. We humbly value your ongoing interest and support in our company. EFC India Limited, as you know, is a real estate-as-a-service company operating through three major verticals. One is the managed office business, where we have managing about 2.25 million sq ft of assets with 57 sites under management across seven cities. We have a sitting capacity of about 47,000 seats and more as on 30th June 2024. We obviously have two other verticals. One is the design and build turnkey contracting verticals, and second is the Ek Design Industries Limited, which is the furniture manufacturing vertical. Through these three verticals, we operate as an integrated real estate service provider. In today's call, we'll review our financials and operational performance for Q1 for the financial year 2024-25. We will also highlight key strategic decisions made by our group and share our future outlook. For Q1, EFC India Limited has achieved impressive financial results with consolidated revenue reaching approximately rupees 105.28 crores and EBITDA of around rupees 49.62 crores and a profit after tax of rupees 15.77 crores. This result underscores our resilience, strategic focus, and the management's unwavering commitment to driving the company's growth. Let us also look at the revenue breakdown business segment-wise, where the rental segment generated approximately rupees 66.79 crores, accounting for about 63.44% of our total revenue. In comparison, the design and build turnkey contracting business contributed rupees 35.3 crores, representing approximately 36.56% of the total revenue. At EFC, we create synergies through our dynamic workspaces, managed office operations under the brands such as EFC, which is an enterprise solution, Sprint, which is a business center solution, and Big Box, which is a new entrant to our bouquet of brands that we operate with. Additionally, we offer exquisite furniture through Ek Design Industries Limited and provide meticulous interior design under Whitefield Interiors Limited. Starting from the managed office business sector, we have significantly enhanced our capacity this quarter by increasing the area under leasehold rights by about 3 lakh sq ft, adding over 7,000 seats across seven centers and four existing cities where we were already operating. Additionally, we have acquired approximately 80,000 sq ft of property at prime location in Pune. This is a freehold property that we have acquired under ownership, which we'll be developing and leasing under our managed office business model. This acquisition has the potential to generate an annual revenue of about 14.40 crore rupees. As on 30th June 2025, we are having about 2.25 million sq ft of area under management. We have a total of 57 sites under our management across seven cities in India, with total seating capacity crossing over the 47,000 mark. In design and build division, we have secured contract exceeding rupees 75 crores during this quarter across various business sectors and are currently negotiating additional contracts valued over 100 crores. Notably, one of the biggest achievements that we undertook during this first quarter was successfully completing over 100,000 square feet of project for Coforge in just 62 days, demonstrating our efficiency and capability in delivering large-scale projects. In furniture manufacturing segment, we have secured regulatory approvals to establish an expansive manufacturing facility on over 3 acres in Fursungi, Haveli Taluka, Pune. This state-of-the-art plant boasts cutting-edge machinery and high-tech QC lab and is strategically subdivided into 5 dedicated manufacturing shop floors. The facility includes a modern customer experience center and is supported by an efficient support infrastructure for seamless operation and management. Our workforce at the manufacturing facility of over 200 people will drive the plant's operation during the following quarter of this financial year and going forward. With plant and machinery configured for peak efficiency, production trials are slated to begin during August 2024, with commercial production set to be launched by September 2024. On acquisition front, EFC Limited, a key unlisted subsidiary of our company, has strategically acquired 51% stake in Big Box Venture Private Limited. As a result, Big Box Venture is now a step-down subsidiary of EFC India Limited. Big Box Venture, with its impressive portfolio of over 3,000 seats in Pune, is aggressively expanding into NCR region, Ahmedabad and Kolkata, significantly enhancing our overall market presence. Additionally, we have also incorporated a real estate investment trust, REIT, to establish small and medium REIT with a substantial corpus of rupees 499 crores, which will further strengthen our investment capabilities and market reach. Additionally, during this fast growth journey, we are more conscious about best-in-class governance. Accordingly, we have conducted an ESG gap audit to identify areas for improvement and appointed a dedicated ESG team to ensure compliances, beginning with the establishment of highest level of governance, the G power of the ESG. We are actively implementing initiatives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by utilizing green power and establishing tools for effective electricity consumption control. With this brief, I thank you all, and now I now open the forum for question-answer session. Moderator, please, could you take over in this?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manav Jain from SP Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be regarding the furniture segment. So we were going to start the production from this year. So could you give some light regarding that segment, and how would be the selling go? Would it be internally or would we be selling to other people as well?
Yes. Thank you and welcome. Regarding the furniture segment, I'd like to update you all that, we are just slated to do the commercial trial during this month, I mean in next week's time. And the full-fledged production, the commercial product activity would start in the month of September, that is the coming month. Okay. With regards to, where would be selling our products, so yes, obviously, as you have observed, that all our businesses are quite integrated as well as standalone as we use. So they are not dependent on our existing businesses. Yes, but our existing business would become an anchor client to them for sure. So as far as we are concerned, we are, you know, looking at right now two major segments, residential and commercial sector, to you know, focus on manufacturing the product for those sectors. So in the commercial sectors, obviously chairs and the workstations, etc. In the residential, you have different types of loose furnitures which goes in for furnishing the residential premises. So we will be doing both. We will be doing for external clients. We will also be tying up with large distributors. We'll be appointing distributor across. We'll also be attempting to do some sort of white labeling where there is a significant, you know, brand presence and a significant, you know, underlying contract that we can secure. So it would be a wholesome business, and it would be, you know, Manav, that it will be like a standalone business in on its own.
Right.
So AFC is concerned, they will become one of its customer, not beyond that.
Okay, got it, got it. And what would be the top line that we are we would expect once the production starts in September?
So as you could see that this financial year would be, you know, will be operational only for 6 months. And naturally, you know, the first 3 months would be, you know, you would appreciate that those are the months where there'll be, you know, more trial and errors because, you know, you are operating those machines for the first time and you're trying to take the maximum benefit on the efficiency. So, I mean, we still believe that looking at the pipelines even the ESC has, you know, we should be able to at least achieve more than about 50 to 75 crore easily during this financial year only, during the 6 months that we are talking about, which is a very conservative number, to be very honest, because, you know, that is the kind of number I'm just talking that even EFC can handle alone. So forget about if I'm able to kind of get any new businesses which my sales team, which is already operational and have already targeted meeting, you know, a few of the brands for a white labeling business, and few of the large consumers for, you know, for, you know, in some of the consumers in the hotel industry, some of the consumers who are like a large distribution across. So those you know, orders are in the discussions. But on a conservative basis, we should definitely be in a position to achieve anything around 50 to 75 crore of turnover in the furniture manufacturing division this year.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for that. And regarding the, we recently added 2 lakh square feet of space at different locations across India. So what would be the space used for? Are those seed additions or they are the new centers that that could be built in the future?
No, no. These are the centers where we are already have already either added the seeds or are under development. So what I mean to say is that over about 300,000 square feet have been added during this quarter, and with that we've been able to develop about 7,000 odd seats across 7 different centers.
Right, right, got it. So
yeah.
My last question would be, are we maintaining the guidance for doubling the top line by FY25?
Yes, I mean we are all geared up to do so. I mean that's the plan, and that has been the overall and that's how the aggressive, some of the actions that the companies are taking, we are completely geared up for that. And I think by end of this quarter, we would be in a much better position to confirm that position. But yes, as of now, we are 100% geared up to achieve that target.
Okay, thank you so much for the answers and all the best.
Thank you so much, Malo.
Thank you. The next question is from the lineup. Pranav Shrimal from Think Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm audible. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, congrats, sir, on the great quarters. I just had a couple of questions. So one would be, we have almost projected that we're going to add around the new seats. By when will those new seats be operational, the 47,000 seats that are under development?
Sorry, I mean, your voice was coming. You said how many seats, when will be operational? You said something I didn't understand.
Yes, there are seats under development of around 4,278. By when will these seats be operational?
These seats would be already, I mean, some of it must be already operational or would be operational during the second quarter already.
Okay, so majority of them will be operational by the end of Q2.
Yes.
Okay, so the revenue will start coming in from Q3 for around 6 months.
Absolutely.
Got it. And second, so we have recently acquired the property in Pune. Just wanted to figure out, is that also going to be one of the office spaces?
Yes, absolutely. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Just that, you know, the instead of landlord, I'll be my own landlord. And, you know, we'll be operating only the managed office business from there, which is our core business. So the property acquisition is just that, you know, right now what we do is that strategically, if we are able to get a property at a price where, you know, practically I'm just replacing my rental with the EMI, then it kind of helps me to build the assets alongside rather than, you know, keep paying to the landlord and then completely remain at their mercy at the end of the fifth year. So that's the strategy which we are using. And depending upon, you know, the amount of exposure that our balance sheet permits, we'll definitely, you know, kind of take in kind of an LRD structure on our balance sheet and acquire these assets, but eventually use it only for our managed office operation.
Got it. So was this property acquired through the REIT or was this done through EFC alone?
So, like I said, that EFC acquisition would depend entirely upon, you know, the debt equity ratio that we as an organization are comfortable with and obviously the standards that one needs to follow. So we'll not be acquiring all the property under EFC. With regards to the property acquisition and the REIT is concerned, you know, the idea behind the using REIT as a structure is it's a win-win proposition for both the investors in the REIT, the unit holders in the REIT, and for us, because what happens is the investors in the REIT would be able to generate a yield which is better than a standard leasing rate when it comes to the yield generation from managed office operations, correct? So let's say if you are just taking a property and leasing out to one customer, your standard lease rentals are around 7% maybe maximum. While if you consider it under a managed office operation, this can substantially be increased because, you know, after paying the rent to the landlord, I'm still making my money. Okay. So as an EFC, I will be making my money in terms of the operation fee that I will be, you know, charging to the REIT. And the investor in the REIT will also be making more money than otherwise they would have invested in a commercial property for a rental yield. So under REIT, we are trying to, you know, acquire assets by raising capital under REIT. We will also be obviously sponsoring we are the sponsor to the REIT, so we'll be putting our own money also. And we'll invite contribution from other potential investors. And we will operate this, some of the properties under this structure and we'll be managing them. So we'll be virtually controlling the operation of those properties also.
Got it, sir. And, just one last question. In the design and build space, we have received contracts worth 75 CR. So that is including Coforge or excluding Coforge?
So Coforge contract was received last quarter. This quarter, the Coforge execution had taken place. This 75 crore is excluding Coforge contract.
And the realization will happen within this year or will there be some overlap?
Can you repeat again? Sorry.
Yeah, the 75 CR, will that be realized within this FY? Or will there be some overlap?
No. It will get realized this quarter. But generally what happens, as you would appreciate, that, you know, each contract, once you, the entire cycle of you really getting the contract, getting the documentations in place, and then the mobilization and the execution, that cycle generally spread over 2 quarters, depending upon the timing at which you have able to secure the contract. So let's say if I secure a contract for 75 crore in first quarter, obviously some of them have been concluded in the first quarter and the rest of them would get concluded in the second quarter.
Got it. And just one last final question. From which city are we seeing the maximum demand coming from? Or is it still spread across evenly?
You're talking on the DNB division or on the managed office business?
Managed office.
Managed office, you know, I mean, as you probably know the sector, then about 9 cities in the country are the prominent cities which is, you know, the standard NCR region. On the southern side, you have Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai. On the western side, you have obviously Gujarat, Ahmedabad. And then in the, you know, in Maharashtra, you have Bombay, Pune. And on the eastern, you have Kolkata. So these are obviously the major cities. Some of the two-tier cities are also coming up well, primarily because of certain specific developments happening on those cities and some specific types of customers, you know, getting occupying those areas in those cities, like, you know, cities like Indore, cities like Coimbatore, cities like Chandigarh. They are all really coming up well. But as of now, looking at our overall portfolio and our overall presence, we still believe that for at least foreseeable future, we'll remain focused in these nine cities. While, like I said, you know, the cities like Ahmedabad, we never wanted to go alone, but our clients took us there. So tomorrow, our client may take us to some other two-tier cities. So we are open to that proposition, depending upon the viability. But in terms of focus, our focus will remain on these nine cities.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Matlani from Reco Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Great set of numbers. I had a first question. The acquisition which we've done with Big Box, how much will this contribute to our revenues and numbers?
So when we acquired Big Box, the Big Box was already doing around 2 crore a month of top line. So that was the kind of top line they were already adding on a monthly basis. That's with about 2,900 seats. Since our acquisition, they have already kind of added about 2,000 more seats, because if, you know, this is a company which does a lot of business where they search a client first and then do the, you know, business back to back by, you know, identifying a property. So that gives a lot of stability in terms of the cash flow that they will be able to generate and the occupancy level that they'll be able to, you know, provide. So I think that's really going to help us going forward. And they do operate right now under small-sized areas. I mean, when I say small size, I mean 10, 15,000, 20,000 square feet of, you know, space that they take it on lease, and then accordingly they further sublease to the potential customers on managed office business. But the overall philosophy, the culture are all matching and aligning with our group, and we are really expecting, and I mean, just to give you an idea, the total contracted remaining contract value of this contract that they have with 3,000 seats is roughly around 86 crore. So, I mean, I'm just saying at the time of acquisition only they had a contract, remaining contract value of more than 86,000 crore. And with the new additions, it will certainly keep adding to our top lines and the bottom line as well.
Sir, and just to follow up to the same, what are the seat expansion targets you set for, you know, Big Box and EFC together?
So we allow Big Box to operate independently, and it's...
Okay. That really helps. Just a second question and a final one. So where are we on the REIT progress? And
yeah, so we have already filed the application. There's a couple of round of...
Hello, sir.
I think we lost you, sir. Yeah.
Management, we are unable to hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the management line connection. Please stay connected while we reconnect them. Thank you. Gentlemen, please stay connected. The call will begin in next few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We have the management line back on the call.
Sorry for this interruption, but please, can we carry on? So I was explaining about the status on the REIT. So as I said that, you know, the REIT application has been already filed with the SEBI. A round of discussion has already happened with the regulators, and they are really happy with the fact that we are the only one who is not from the fractional ownership platform, and they're really excited to, you know, kind of extend their all support. And we are expecting that probably, you know, by end of this month or beginning of September, we should get an approval for the registration of our REIT.
All right. So just to quickly follow up on the same, has there been any finalization on the yield which will be offered?
You mean to say in terms of the properties that we are identifying?
No, in terms of the REIT, like what sort of returns, you know, can investors expect from the REIT?
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of returns, yes, it will be, you know, we have not really prepared the offer document, which is under preparation right now. But I think in about, you know, by end of this quarter, we should be ready with all those numbers. And it will certainly significantly differentiating than a standard lease product, you know, which is what generally the main REITs are working at. So it will certainly be better than them. But in terms of exact numbers, I mean, I'll be able to tell you by the time the offer documents are completely ready.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, sir. All the best for the coming quarter.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and sorry for the disturbance.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please, Rishabh. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, so I want to understand, like, more on the five-year vision, right, on the kind of business you would want to build across your different segments, and possibly some kind of numbers relevant to each segment, like how big you would like to make them, and would want to know which new geography you would like to enter in future, and any more adjacencies or segments that you plan to enter into or think about that they are interesting. Yes, sir.
Right. In terms of overall outlook going forward, you know, Rishabh, we're looking at about and keep adding about 30 to 40,000 seats on a year-on-year basis for next, I would like to right now say at least for 3 years. That's the plan that management has already kind of put in place internally. And the way the managed office business and the flex office market is growing and the overall economy is also supporting the same, we are fairly confident that for next coming 3 years, you know, we'll be able to really keep adding the seats. You know, I mean, you would appreciate that adding seats is not a big challenge. The challenge is in terms of whether there is a demand sufficiently available. And we are very confident that for the coming 3 years, that will be the scenario, that we'll be able to easily absorb more than 30, 40,000 seats that we'll be able to kind of, you know, put in place. And with the policy that we have, that we generally, you know, price our product at a reasonable level, anything between around 6,500 to 8,000 rupees, depending upon the area, locations, etc. That's the broad target with regards to the managed office business. With regards to, you know, the DNB division and the furniture market, as far as the DNB division is concerned, we are very upbeat because, you know, if you would appreciate, there are hardly any pan-India players and organized players who have a capability to carry out such large contracts across India single-handedly. And the way the growth is happening, the kind of response that we are getting from large customers, we are very, very confident that, you know, with the economy also supporting the real estate sector on the commercial leasing business side, we should be in a position to really achieve or rather keep doubling our targets year on year than what we have achieved last year, which is a very conservative and realistic estimate that we can make looking at the kind of orders that we have in hand and the orders in pipeline. With regards to the furniture manufacturing business, you know, I mean, we are very confident that by end of 26, we should be crossing around 250 to 300 crore top line. That is what is expected from that business and that the unit that we have really set up right now. So by FY 26, we should be in a position to cross 300 crore plus of business on the furniture manufacturing side. In terms of geographical expansion, as I mentioned earlier, that will our focus for next couple of years would remain the 9 cities. Having said so, we are clearly aware about the new markets getting developed, new tier 2 cities getting developed, and you know, we'll be closely watching them and you know, will definitely support our existing clients if they want to really move to those region and kind of, you know, asking us to kind of help them set up the infrastructure there. But in terms of our own direct focus would definitely remain around these 9 cities going forward in the coming 3 years' time. I hope I've kind of covered up all your questions in this.
Yeah. Actually, one more question was there. Like, any more adjacencies, right, or segment that you plan to enter into which are related to your business, maybe in the, which you find interesting at the moment?
As of now, we are genuinely speaking very focused on opportunities on hand. I mean, we believe that this segment already we have kind of covered all the, you know, aspects of our core business, that's the managed office or the office leasing business. So as of now, there is nothing that is on plan or nothing on card. You know, we are in business and it's a dynamic environment, right? So opportunities may throw up and we may consider them. But as of now, there is no such plan, please.
You know, I also wanted to understand more on the inorganic growth. Like, when we have acquired one company right now, so what is our view? Like, would we be acquiring more such similar kind of businesses across India? And how do we evaluate these businesses? Like, any parameter linked to acquisition cost per seat? Or how do you evaluate buy or build or buy decisions for such businesses?
Oh, no, very great questions. I mean, yes, inorganic growth is necessary for any organization like us who is growing well right now and, you know, who has been able to generate sufficient internal accrual. So, yes, inorganic growth will be on card and we will be looking at such opportunities where, you know, we could acquire and step in and play some strategic role while expanding our strength. So in terms of when we get into acquiring such proper, potential companies, we definitely wouldn't like to give them a situation of an exit, okay? We would definitely like to associate with them to do, how do we really, associate in a manner that we can really help them to grow further, you know, and how do we really associate so that we are in a position to fuel their growth plan as well. So it has to become a win-win situation. If I go into a pure vanilla acquisition deal, then, you know, my cash outflow and my acquisition cost would become too high, and that might not be a viable proposition considering, the current situation in the market. You know, the industry is doing very good. And if I try to make a deal right now to acquire a business completely, which is doing fabulously well and it is also growing at a very good pace, then the acquisition cost is going to go very high. But I have to look for such opportunities like Bitbox, who are at a reasonable scale and now looking at growing further. And that growth could be fueled by the kind of overall infrastructure that we've got. So we've got, what do we really have to offer? We have to offer a DNB division which is fully functional, fully capable of, you know, handling any kind of contract that is to be executed in a very limited period of time. Secondly, we have our own furniture manufacturing business, so that can kind of offers them a very, you know, customized and timely basis and price sensitive product to them. So that takes a win-win proposition to them, to us, and that's how we try to acquire such companies, not by going into pure play acquisition model, because that becomes, you end up paying certain multiples or certain number of sales multiples or EBITDA multiples. And, that probably doesn't work in our mindset. We are looking at a situation where we do strategic acquisition with some growth fueling exercise that we can do for the target companies.
Mm. You know, if time enough, I would like to ask one more question. Like, for the properties that we are trying to own and then run it as a space, so what is the kind of IRR or return on investment do you expect to make post? Like, what is your leveraged returns on that? Like, what is the benchmark that beyond this you would like to do this?
So, I mean, to be very honest, when we acquire a property, we would obviously like to have acquire it at lowest possible cost, because, you know, I don't want to get into an acquisition where, you know, the difference between my EMI and my payment to and the rental around that is more than 1% or so. The arbitrage can't be more than that, because the moment I get into a higher arbitrage, then, you know, that acquisition is not efficient for me. So what you're looking at is below 7% kind of an, you know, yield kind of a property that I would like to identify and acquire. And, you know, kind of size that we are looking at, and, you know, the opportunities are there in the market. You know, the, all the past acquisitions that we have done are all on the similar lines and on the philosophy.
All right. You know, for the furniture that we have, like the backward integration, has any other player also done that? And, you know, what are the kind of entry barrier, right? Like for another office space to actually also backward integrate to furniture, like what are your views on that? Just broad views.
So with regards to whether anybody else has done that, to our best of our knowledge, we are not really sure that anybody has done that. You know, we are basically, we are one of the few, I mean, the only one I did it like that. So we are operating as real estate as a service provider, and this integrated solutions, I doubt that anybody else is providing, number one. Number two, with regards to, you know, the overall furniture business is concerned, we are, we'll be able to expand into all the different, you know, categories that we are focusing on. And any other follow-up questions you had on the furniture business?
Yeah, I just want to understand, like, how hard is it for another player to actually start doing this backward integration for furniture, right? Some qualitative insights on that.
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, it's not an exercise that one can just simply think of and just have access to capital, so then you can just simply put it and you're able to manage it, because you could understand that that's how the manufacturing sector and the service sectors are different. But fortunately, we've got a team of people. We've got experienced management. Our promoters have also historic experience of doing the, you know, having understand the manufacturing sector. So it is not easy for sure. You got to have the right blend of team, and obviously the right type of opportunities on card available, which enables you to, you know, kind of get into this expansion into the furniture manufacturing.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, sir, for the valuable insights. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results, sir. One clarification, if I heard it correctly, we are trying to double our top line by FY25. Was that, did I hear that correctly, sir?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the endeavor, and that is the target that we have kept it for ourselves.
That's great to hear, sir. That's great to hear, sir. So, just two questions. One, like now, when we add, you know, furniture to our this, so what kind of EBITDA margins would, you know, we would be, you know, getting in that business, and what would be like a blended EBITDA for, you know, like when we do all three combined, so, you know, or any good margin differential in all three businesses, what would that be?
So in the furniture vertical, the EBITDA margins are typically around 40%. Obviously, it will take about 6 months for us to achieve that efficiency. But a standard thumb rule, as I said, in the furniture industry is about 40%. And that's what our costings are also looking at, and the kind of market price that we can understand based on the preliminary feasibility that we have carried out. With regards to the blended margin is concerned, you know, I mean, on a managed office business, we do, you know, about an EBITDA of about 30% on a site level, and on the D&B division, we do an EBITDA of about 15% to 17%, or rather a little more, about 17% to 19% on an EBITDA level, 14% to 15% on a PAT level. So on a blended level, it will still remain around 30%. On an EBITDA, this has every time talking on an Indian GAAP accounting standard, not as per the reported, which is Ind AS, where the EBITDAs are generally higher. So, but if you look at on a business side, on a cash flow level, the cash flow level EBITDAs blended would be around 30%.
Oh, fair. So what would be the differential between reported and Indian GAAP, sir? Or maybe could you just talk about PAT numbers, because that would be much more easier than, sir.
So that's what I'm saying, that I'm kind of telling you about a number that is something which would be subject to tax, which is 30% EBITDA on my top line. Reported EBITDA, I mean, reported numbers, like I said, it's a little a different situation because of the way the Ind AS accounting standard operates. We have to, consider the different, creation of that right of use of assets, etc., and then amortizing them so that the rent expenses are, rather than debited to the, before EBITDA, it gets debited post EBITDA, and hence the EBITDA level increases, but the PAT level decreases.
Okay, got it, sir. And so just like now we are talking about, a three-year plan where, we are adding so many, around 30,000 seats a year and everything. So what would be our vision for the next 3 years overall basis, like our revenue growth? Because we are talking about very strong numbers even in furniture manufacturing as well as, our B&B division. So, could we, in the next 3 years, what would be our internal target to, reach in terms of revenue?
So as I've explained, internally we are looking at adding around 30 to 35,000 seats at a rate of, let's say, about 7,000 to 7,500 rupees on an average basis on the managed office business. Over the 3 years' time, we should be in a position from around 50 to 75 crores to 300 crores of turnover that we'll be able to achieve under the furniture manufacturing business. And on the B&B division, we are absolutely confident that from the 100 plus crore, that is 113 crore that we achieve in FY24, we should easily be able to double it year on year, because the way the responses and the contracts that we are, securing and the businesses are getting generated, we are absolutely confident. So I think, you can appreciate this is the broad guideline that I can provide. And this is the kind of numbers that we are really targeting at.
Oh, yeah, that's great to hear. So that's very great to hear. So just like one last final question, part two question. So just like with such a, great opportunity for growth, will there be, very intense competitive, ness with other players coming in? And what kind of risks that you could see in our market, sir?
So, in terms of competition, the market is open. Yes, marketing is gearing up. People are, focusing on this segment. But as you can see, there are a handful of people who have a pan-India presence and who are really have established themselves as a managed office players or somebody who is into the operation model. So, while this business has no entry barrier, but to get to that efficiency level at which everybody like us is operating, that's not going to be very easy for, every new entrant. And also to become a significant player, that's not an easy task that you can achieve it over, next 1-2 years, okay? So you would appreciate that we have reached to this scale, this size, this efficiency with our over 10 years of experience in this business. So while it is easy to say there is no entry barrier, but to achieve such efficiencies and to enable yourselves to make continuous profitable business, it is a challenge that one has to go through. And we are really cognizant of the fact that, the overall risk which one can really foresee is the risk related to the overall downturn in the economy. Because otherwise, if you see, the way the real estate sector is growing and the way the, the business sectors are growing in terms of demand for leasing office leasing sector is continuously increasing only. And the way the projections are, we are very confident that at least for 3 years that we are talking, there aren't likely any downturn which is expected. barring some force measure event which nobody can really estimate, we are very confident that we should be able to sail through these 3 years confidently and, you know, on a growing trend only.
Oh, that's very great to hear, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. So all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhaktesh Oza from Vyom Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So, congratulations on a good quarter. So, my question is, in the last con calls and the management commentary, you have been mentioning that you are having competitive cost advantage when it comes to your comparing with your peers. So, because of that, you are gaining more advantage. So, my question is, are we getting this cost advantage from PCC concept? Because our promoters are holding a majority of stake in TCC concept. So are we getting managed offices spaces at a reasonable rent from TCC concepts? That's what I wanted to know.
So TCC concepts is an independent company which is not, which is not kind of having any, you know, business connections with the EFC India Limited. And there is nothing that we are deriving from them in terms of which adds to my cost competitiveness. What adds to my cost efficiency is the integrated vertical that EFC India Limited has developed under the 3 verticals that it has developed, which is, as you know, my furniture manufacturing, my DNB division, and the management. So that is where we really control our costs, we bring our efficiencies, and maximize our profitability.
Okay, so I was going through annual reports of PCC concepts and of FY23. So there were some related party transactions where EFC's name was mentioned, and the amount was around 250 crores, if I'm mistaken in amount. But can you please explain what those transactions were?
It's absolutely fine when there are those transactions are arm's length transactions. And if there is any connection, but that has nothing to do with the business of growth of this company. And I think we'll be able to address those things in the TCC conference call. But right now, as I'm saying, that there is no connection from a business side that it is fueling my growth or, you know, enabling me to, you know, achieve any efficiency on my cost, etc. from that company is concerned.
Okay. And so my last question is that TCC is as last question is for TCC only. So TCC has stepped down subsidiary.
If you don't mind, I mean, we can rather focus on EFC India Limited at this point of time with the lack of time than getting into the other company, please.
Yes, absolutely. But the promoters are the same, and so that's the reason I wanted to know a bit about TCC.
Regarding this particular company, that is why I'm requesting you, sir, that if we can focus on this, then because of the lack of time, we can focus on EFC India's result, please.
Okay, no, sir, that's it from my end. Thank you. Thank you for answering.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nirmal Murarka from VT Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Nirmal, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
My question was regarding the rental income. So it has been flattish Q on Q, despite increase of 5,000 seats in build seats. So what explains this, if you could please clarify on that?
Yeah, so there is an increment in seats during the quarter, obviously, and that's what every quarter we plan to. But generally, as you can appreciate, and if you see, our last year's trend, the quarter one and quarter two are the quarters where we do maximum of development. And, that is where the number of seats are getting built up and, you know, and then they're coming up for occupation. So during the third and the fourth quarter, where you see the maximum occupations in terms of, the number of seats which have come up and developed during these two quarters, and then the revenue and the profitability accordingly shoots up. So that is the kind of trend then generally that we follow in our business, in this particular managed office business. So if you compare it with the last four quarters, you will realize that, you know, on a quarter on quarter, we'll be increasing. And on an average, if you see, every quarter we'll be adding about 3,000 to 4,000 seats on a billable seat. But in terms of capacity, it will be more. And that's how there'll be a little lag between the, you know, the income and the expenses, which will happen on a quarter on quarter basis. But on an average basis, you will achieve, you'll see that we will have a average profitability across all the quarters matching up, totaling at an average of about 15% to 16% on an annual basis.
Actually, sir, I wanted to know from the revenue side, like if you're increasing seats, so why is the revenue flat Q1Q? That was my question.
So that's what I'm trying to explain, that during the first quarter, the seats and the developments are more there. Though all the seats which are getting developed, they might not get occupied immediately because, you know, there is a lag between the development and the occupation, correct? So let's say if the seats are getting developed, they will come up for occupation. They will start getting billed on a particular date, but it will not be billed for the entire quarter. You appreciate? Because let us say I'm hypothetically saying that as
No, my I got that. But if you have added 5,000 seats in this quarter, so like have those not yet got occupied or like what is that split? If you
so they are occupied. They are occupied. But like I said, that let's say if. Like I'm saying that the most of the seats would get occupied during the month of June. So obviously the incremental revenue would come because, you know, there are the earlier months we'll do the developmental work and it will get occupied during the month of, let's say, in the later half of May and the earlier half of June. So the additions would see on the revenue side would start increasing from June onwards. Okay, so the overall quarter impact would not come in that first particular quarter. And generally, the way we work, sir, is that the fourth quarter of any financial year is the year in which we kind of developed and identify potential properties that we want to acquire mm-hmm. on a leasehold terms over the coming financial year. And then we kind of get into, you know, acquiring those leasehold rights starting from the last quarter of a particular financial year and beginning of the next financial year. And then accordingly, the developmental cycle happens. And the third and the fourth quarter is the quarters where my revenue starts picking up, kicking in more. While on the other hand, because the developmentals are going on, certain fixed expenses, certain standard developmental expenses keep getting debited to the P&L. So there will be a revenue mismatch to that extent. There will be, you see that the revenues are not going increasing vis-a-vis the expenses are concerned and so on and so forth. But on an average, once you look at a particular financial year, between the two quarters, initial two quarters and the later two quarters, you know, the average numbers would give an overall sense of the performance of the company.
Okay. And sir, related to this, like your assets and your rental income, there is a segment called assets. So, like, why has it fallen, like, from 9 crores to 1 crore, like, why?
So, what we were also very active on is that there were certain, transactions where we were contracted, where we were just, you know, providing the furniture fixture and also the managed office services, where the space was not something that we were acquiring, we were taking on the lease from the landlord. But only the furniture were provided to a particular customer on the space which they own. And then we provide them the managed office services also. So that is the asset leasing business what we are talking about. But, you know, in that business, what happens is that the controls are limited, as we have seen and observed over the period. So we are trying to reduce our operations because there is too much of demand on the space leasing side. And, our ability to focus on the asset leasing business is getting limited, and obviously, as I explained, the control aspects. So we are kind of reducing those exposure and rather also focusing more and more towards the space rental business.
So my final question would be, like, what would be your guidance on the rental income, like, for the full year?
We are fairly confident that, you know, for the full year we'll be crossing around, right now, as I said, that we are already at 47,000 seats. By the end of this financial year, we'll easily be around 65 to 70,000 plus kind of seats. And on an average, if you have to ascertain that what would be the average occupied seat during the entire year, if you do an annualized average, we are confident that we should be able to have around 50, 55,000 seats on an annualized basis at an average rental of about 7,000 rupee per seat kind of a thing. So we are looking at more upwards of 350 crores on the top line that we will be able to project for this financial year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Welcome, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Bhuta, Whole-Time Director of EFC India Limited, for closing comments.
First of all, thank you very much for showing so much of faith and interest in our company and coming out in such large capacity to support us and encourage us. So we thank you all for joining today's call. We appreciate your continued support and engagement with EFC India Limited. As we move forward, we remain committed to driving growth and delivering value to our shareholders and all the, you know, participants to the overall ecosystem. Should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to our agency. And we wish you a great weekend and a great quarter coming. I'm really, you know, extremely sorry that we're not able to attend to the calls for each of the participants. But due to the time constraint, we'll have to shorten this call at this point of time and put an end to this call. Thank you so much. Moderator, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of EFC India Limited, that concludes today's session. If there are any questions that have remained unanswered due to paucity of time, request you to kindly send us on the same to compliance@esclimited.in, and also you can connect with Fortuna PR for the same. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.